You know the story. You know the setting. We've probably talked about it before. Jairus, who is a ruler in the synagogue, a man of importance, a man of some position and respect in the community. He would have been a role model. Rodney and Rhonda, I have always thought that the toughest job in this church was ministering the children's sermon. To take the message of the gospel and open it up and make it plain for the little ones so that they know the Jesus that we know and come to know Him early. I've always thought that was the toughest job. And Jairus comes to Jesus and says, "My daughter's sick. She's 12 years old. She's dying. Would you come?" Now keep in mind who this is. He's one of the witch of which there is no witcher. He's one of the upper class. He's in a class that's hostile to Jesus. And it takes considerable courage and humility for him to come to Jesus. He's probably had the most famous and notable physicians to come in. In his position, he could have easily reached out to them. But none of them have been able to help her. And so here with people watching, this important man, this ruler of the synagogue, falls on his knees and says, "Jesus, would you please come? It's an urgent case. It's one that requires immediate reaction." And you remember when Jesus got word that Lazarus, one of his very close friends, was sick. He waited 3 days before he made the journey. This time, he goes quickly and immediately. And as I read that part of the text, I think of the hymn that I've told you before is one of the most dangerous hymns in all the hymnal. "Have thine own way, Lord." That's a tough one to pray and really mean it. But this time it's an immediate response and they're on their way. Now this word that Jesus is on his way to the home of somebody that's sick and close to death is going to spread throughout the community. If there's not a crowd gathered already, there's going to be a crowd there very soon as Jesus is on his way. And there is in this crowd another person with a need. When he finally meets her and talks to her face to face, he calls her daughter. Only woman in the Bible, as far as I know, that Jesus addressed in that fashion. And it's a word of tenderness, but I think it's also indicating how old she is. She's maybe 25, maybe 30. Now for some folks, 30 might be old age. For me, 30's a young pup, barely out of the cradle. But he calls her daughter with affection and with love. In fact, as the Scripture relates the story to us, we learn that she has been sick as long as Jairus' daughter has been born. She got sick about the time Jairus' daughter, the 12-year-old, was born. And she's been to one doctor after another. And the account says she spent everything she had. If there's a cure, if there's a doctor, if somebody says, "Well, this one can help," or "This one can help," she's gone there. She's paid the fee. And now she's broke. And not one bit better. She spent all that she had. It's probably her wedding dowry. And she spent it all. 12 years have passed. Think of what has passed in your life for the last 12 years. Our grandson Mac, who is 12 years old, has never known a day without a cell phone. We're captive to them today. But Mac's never known a day when we didn't have these things. 12 years ago, U.S. Airways Flight 1549, commanded by Sully Sullenberger, hit a flock of birds, knocked the engines out, and he landed in what's called the Miracle on the Hudson. Landed an airplane in a river, and not one person was hurt. Not one person died. 12 years ago, Barack Obama was inaugurated as the first man of African-American descent as President of the United States. 12 years ago, there was a 6.3 earthquake in Italy that killed more than 300, injured more than 1,500 more. 12 years ago, North Korea announced they'd bombed or had tested their second nuclear bomb. 12 years ago, Air France Flight 447 out of Brazil crashed in the Atlantic Ocean to the loss of all 228 people on board. 12 years ago, a global pandemic swept the world. It was called H1N1, the swine flu. 12 years ago, Michael Jackson died. 12 years ago, Windows 7 came out. And they've just announced Windows 11. Think of all that's gone by in 12 years. And this woman has been sick for the entire time. With a disease that was not only debilitating, a disease that was socially debilitating. Because you see, with this condition, she was not allowed to be around people. She was not allowed to go to the synagogue. She was not allowed to touch any of the holy things in the synagogue. If she was married, she was required to move out of the home. Because to have an issue of blood meant anything she touched, anyone she touched, is unclean. She's unclean. They'll be unclean. And she's lived with that for 12 years. But she's heard that Jesus is there, and He's on the way. Now, every time Jesus touches somebody and heals them, He says, "Don't tell anybody." But they always do. And His fame spreads farther and farther. Every time He says, "Don't tell," they keep telling. And she's heard that Peter's mother-in-law has been so sick she couldn't even raise her head off the pillow. And Jesus takes her by the hand and she gets up and in hospitality prepares a meal for all of them. She hears about a nobleman's son who was sick. And Jesus said, "I'm going to go on my way and I'm going to heal him." And as it got closer, there was word that came from the house and said, "He's healed." And they said, "What time did this happen?" And the nobleman learned that it was about the time that Jesus said, "Go home, he's healed." He's healed the Roman centurion slave, the one who said, "You don't even have to come under my roof and he'll be healed." He healed the man who was paralyzed for 38 years, lying at the pool waiting for somebody to push him in when the angels troubled the water. And all of those things got the word around. And she thinks to herself, "This may be my only chance to see Jesus, to reach out to Him for healing." Now the place is full of people. It's crowded. It's jam-packed. They're in there. And she is this little nobody, sick, enfeebled, untouchable. There's nobody going to let her through. "Excuse me, I'd like to get through the crowd and touch Jesus. You're not coming close to me, let alone getting in this crowd." What's the only way she can come to Jesus? Down on her hands and knees. Crawling through the crowd. Getting kicked. Getting stepped on. Getting bumped. "Who is that? What is that?" And maybe he won't even pay attention to a sick old woman like me. Well, not old, but sick 12 years. And yet I've heard He takes pity on the poor. And so she does what she has to do to get close to Jesus. And she says, from her hands and knees, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed. Now, every Jewish male had four tassels on their garment. One on each side, one in front, one in back. That was called the hem of His garment. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, the word that John uses means a casual brush. If I could just get that close and just brush by the hem of His garment, I know I will be healed. And instantly, she feels the sickness leave her. She hasn't felt like this in 12 years. What am I feeling? What is this? She may not have even recognized it for an instant because she hasn't felt like this for 12 years. An indescribable, delightful surge of health. And she knows immediately that she's been healed. And I think she's trying to sneak back out of the crowd when Jesus stops the crowd and says, who touched me? Who touched me? And they say, Jesus, do you see this crowd around here? They're jostling, they're pushing, they're reaching out, they're touching. You've been touched by dozens of people. And you say, who touched me? He says, no, that's not it. It was a different kind of touch. It was a touch of faith that released the power from me to go out to her and to touch her and to heal her. But she knows she can't be hidden, so she says, it was me. And he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. It wasn't the hem of my garment that healed you. It wasn't when your hand brushed against that tassel that healed you. It was your faith. Now, if you've never heard this story before, you may be upset. Wondering, what about Jairus' daughter? The one they left in such a hurry for. She's close to death. Why is he waiting? Why is he delaying? Well, she's going to be healed. One miracle will not preclude another miracle. Jesus is not a one miracle man. But let's stay right here as we close. And learn some lessons from this incredible story. First of all, this story shows us that Jesus is interested in the individual. One person meant as much to Jesus as did all the multitudes who came in humps and clumps and a mass. In fact, there are only four times in the New Testament where Jesus preached a sermon to a gathering of people. There are 28 times when He talked one-on-one with people. Picked out this person, that person, this man, this woman, this young person, this old person. One-on-one, 28 times. Four times of sermons, 28 times individual, one-on-one. Jesus is concerned about the individual. He's always had time for the individual. And that means He has time for you. Whatever's on your heart, whatever's in your mind, Whatever it is you're thinking about that needs help, Jesus always has time. You remember Zacchaeus? That short little man, there was another crowd that day, and he wants to see Jesus, and nobody's going to let him through because he's a crook. He's a tax collector. After he's met with Jesus, he says, if I've defrauded anybody, I'll give it back four times. If I've defrauded anybody, he was a crook. He had defrauded. And they're not going to let him through. So he climbs up a tree, and Jesus stops under the tree and says, come on down, lunch is at your house today. One person. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting at the gate. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up, it's Jesus, let him go by. Jesus, he cries out again and again. And Jesus stops and says, what do you want? One person out of the crowd. And then one day when Jesus can't physically touch anybody, but there's a crowd still there because his arms are stretched out and nailed to a cross. One man on one side, one man on the other side. And he turns to one of those two men. He stops, listen to this, he stops dying for all of us long enough to look at this one man and say, today, you will be with me in paradise. You may feel no one's interested in you. But you're mistaken. There is one who cares for you. There is one who is deeply interested in you. And he is the one who died on the cross for you. For all of us, yes. For you. Secondly, this miracle shows faith heals. Some people would say it was superstition. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. They were in the habit when Simon Peter and the disciples walked by after the resurrection, after the day of Pentecost, to put sick people where their shadow would fall over the sick people. Because they said they'll be healed, and they were healed. In Ephesus, they cut up Paul's undershirt and sent it to sick people as a prayer cloth, so they'd be healed. I mentioned Mac a minute ago. He has a prayer cloth. When he comes over to Granny and Pappy's house to stay the night, he has a pillow with a Star Wars pillowcase on, and inside it is his blue night-night, a little blanket that he's been sleeping with since he was first in a crib. And this smaller red piece of cloth that the elders at the church where they attend anointed with oil and prayed over at a time when he was very, very sick. Call it superstition. No, I call it faith. I call it faith. There was a woman in Beckley, West Virginia. Bonnie and I were pastoring the Church of God there. And one night after church, a woman comes and knocks on the door of the parsonage and says, could I come in and talk to you? We took her up to the living room and we sat down. And she says, my daughter is going tomorrow for an x-ray. She's been x-rayed before. She has scoliosis. Her spine is almost in the shape of an S. And they're going to do one more x-ray before they start some kind of surgical procedure. Would you pray for her? Absolutely. And we prayed. And several days later, she came back to the parsonage with two x-rays. I've seen them. The old one, her spine was in an S as big as the initial of my last name. And the new one, the one they took on that Monday, is as straight as you could do with a plumb bob. It was straight, perfectly straight. Superstitious? Oh no. Faith heals. She didn't try to touch the hem of the garment of Jairus, an important person, a notable person. She didn't try to touch the hem of any of the rulers or the notables that would have been in procession that day, but only the hem of the garment of Jesus. And we can't touch the hem of His garment today. But there is prayer, the Bible, worship, the sacraments of the church. And all of these are, if you please, the hem of His garment. And if you're seeking the Christ who is back of them, your touch on these things can have healing power and cleansing power. And then third, she told the whole story. And now she's part of the crowd who tells the story. Tell me the story of Jesus, I love to hear. That story gets told and told and told. Because every time He touches one, the story keeps getting told. And if the touch on the hem of the garment of Jesus, whether it's through worship, whether it's through receiving communion, whether it's through singing a hymn, whether it's through listening to a sermon, has touched you and has changed you, there's somebody out there who's waiting to hear that story. Don't let anybody tell you to keep quiet. Tell the story. Let them be encouraged to come and touch the hem of His garment. And I believe this story encouraged Jairus. We've delayed, but it's okay. The messengers come and say, "Your daughter's dead," but Jesus says, "Fear not, only believe." And when He gets there, He takes her by the hand and raises her up. And finally, who touched me? Many are thronging Jesus today, but who will touch Him with a touch of faith? Wendy, come back. Julie, come back. Get ready for our close. Maybe you have had a sorrow that is draining your strength. Maybe it's been a year, maybe it's been a month, maybe it's been 12 years, maybe it's been longer. Maybe you have some dread or fear that's hung over you like a dark cloud. Maybe there's a dislike or an enmity that has clouded your heart. Maybe there's an ugly habit that defies your body and defies your spirit, and you haven't been able to break free of it. Maybe you're haunted by the memory of something you did years ago. And even though you've asked God to forgive you, you can't forgive you. If I but touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. Do you remember that father down at the bottom of the Mount of Transfiguration who said, "Jesus, if you will, you can heal my son"? And He said, I will, only believe. And He said, "Believe, help thou my unbelief." Do you need a touch this morning? He's passing by. Reach out and touch the hem of His garment.